Something Ghost, number 310. Welcome to Anything Ghost. My name is Lex Wall. Anything Ghost is a place where people share their personal paranormal experiences, and I share them with you on this show. If you have a story to share, send it to lex@anythingghost.com. Some creepy stuff coming up your way for episode number 310 of Anything Ghost, sharing experiences since 2006. And the first story we have for this rainy night where I live is from Liz in Indiana. Happy Haunts Ghost. First story of many that I hope to send in. However, as this one just happened less than an hour ago, I wanted to get it to you while it was still fresh in my mind. Throughout my life, I have had several paranormal experiences. I believe myself to be a medium in the loosest sense, because, out of fear, I have never explored how to refine and tune my senses. My daughter, almost 13, and I decided last minute to go to a ghost talk held by a local shop tonight. The owners of the shop started by speaking to us about some of the investigations they have attended at some of our local hotspots, as well as more of the well-known national spots. They also informed us of the resident ghost in their shop, along with the shenanigans he gets up to. They all seemed pretty harmless, remotes missing, paintings being moved, and candelabras being knocked over. The rest of the group began opening up about their experiences, mostly with Indiana's famed Central State Hospital. I was enthralled listening to these stories. Not only were they fascinating, but it helped me to know I wasn't alone in feeling and seeing things that I have experienced. Halfway through a story by the co-host of a paranormal podcast, "Sorry, Lex, you're still my favorite." My daughter tapped me on the shoulder twice. I turned to her, assuming, as she was a teenage girl, that she was going to ask me if we could leave now. As I turned to her and asked what she needed, she looked bewildered as if I had lost my mind and told me she had not touched me. My kids and I like to play pranks on each other, and I assumed she was pulling my leg. I pressed her more and insisted that she had tapped my shoulder, and that she was joking with me. This went on for a couple of minutes, until I finally believed that she had not touched me. Being that I was in a room full of mediums, I assumed that they would have noticed something amiss. I began wondering if maybe I had pulled on my purse unknowingly, and it caused the feeling of two quick taps. Nothing I did could replace that feeling. I'm flabbergasted at the idea that I was in the middle of a room of people and had experienced a paranormal event that no one else had noticed. There was thankfully nothing malicious about the event, and the taps felt more like someone trying to say, "Excuse me, I'm here." In a room full of sensitive individuals celebrating and discussing the wonders of the paranormal, I wonder if he was simply trying to make his presence known. And that was from Liz in Indiana. And I'm guessing Indiana because she mentioned it in the story. And she says she has other stories, so hopefully we'll hear those coming up soon. And not too long ago, a couple weeks, 3 weeks ago, somebody asked me in the VIP group, the Anything Goes VIP group, if I remember a story, a specific story that was in regards to a security guard at a haunted warehouse, something like that. And I don't recall if I ever found it for him or what happened, but then a couple weeks after that, I got this story from Richard in Portland, Oregon, who is a different person than I just spoke about. But Richard in Portland, Oregon sent me a story that he self-recorded. It's called Security Ghost Stories.
Hey, Lex. Love your show. I thought I'd call up and give you a few ghost stories of my own. And I actually grew up in a haunted house, and I've had a lot of paranormal events happen to me over the course of my life. And I will call up with some more at a different date. But I wanted to start off just with telling you a few stories from a more recent stint when I was a night overnight security guard. So I live in Portland, Oregon. This project, I was actually involved at this company, and they were working as part of a contract that the school system had. And what they were doing is they were rehabbing these old, really old schools around the city, and trying to bring them up to code. And it was part of a huge bond project that the city passed. So part of the contract was that they had to have security work, security people on site that would actually help protect the school against vandalism and things getting, you know, stolen or accidents or fire protection or fire, fire watch, and just a litany of other things that, you know, things that could happen. A lot of times, you know, as a security guard, you were more kind of scared of the living than really the dead, because a lot of times you would encounter people that were either trying to get on the site and steal equipment or tools or steal wiring or things like that, or just sometimes people just trying to find a place to sleep, and you just never really knew who you were going to encounter and what kind of mood or what they might be on. So you're always kind of kept your ears open and were alert for things in case something bad happened. So I so this big these schools were quite massive. They were very massive. I don't know how many acres they were, but in this the particular incident, my first story, I was actually doing most of it by myself because we couldn't find really reliable help. So I was there from about, I think it was from 10 to 6, by myself on the site. And I would make my patrols, and generally not much happened. You know, a few times you'd catch people or doing something, or have to tell them to get off the property or warn them about stuff. So, but this particular night, there was as I was walking around, I was doing my rounds. It was around 2 in the morning, and there was a dark area on the back of the school. They didn't have as much lighting, and I was always a little, it's one of those areas you always thought about, because one of the things you don't want to happen is, honestly, you don't want anybody to hit you over the head, which no one would want that to happen, and just because someone might be wanting to steal something or do some sort of mischief or something, so you're always kind of wary. And so I had to walk around that area, and I learned really early on that if I thought that there was something that if I thought that there was somebody around, best thing for me to do would be to stop and just be quiet and just sort of cloak myself for a little bit in the darkness and just listen, you know, because you could hear people. Most people are not very conscious how much sound they're making, and you could tell if people were out and about and doing something bad. So so on this particular night, I was walking around, and I came to that area, and I had to go around it. And I could have sworn I heard somebody talking. And we had a lot of houses really close to the school. So there were a lot of places to get on the property and different areas of the fence that weren't that secure. But also, I thought maybe it was one of somebody had gotten on the school, or maybe it was just coming from a yard nearby. So I stopped and I listened, and I really determined that it actually seemed to be coming from the school itself in the basement. And like I said, these were behemoths of a school. These were huge schools, and they were just, it was like a four-story building and gigantic, and it was coming from the basement level. And I thought, I could barely make it out, and it was just really, it was one of those things where you just couldn't, you'd listen, you'd strain, you'd barely make out words and stuff, but it was very obscure. It almost sounded like someone was underwater, and it was just always at the very tip of your grasp what you could make out. And so I just couldn't, I wasn't sure what, if it was somebody talking or what it was. And then I thought, maybe it's just a radio. Maybe some of the workers had left a radio on. And so I stopped and I listened, and I could pretty much, it sounded like not a radio, there was somebody talking or something. But I just, like I said, it was just always without a range about what you could really make out. And so I kept watching, and then all of a sudden the lights came on in the building. Now at this time, the building, they had alarms inside the building, so if anyone was actually in the building, the alarms would be going off, my boss would be getting a call, the cops would be getting a call, they're very loud, all the lights would start flashing, so it was extremely loud. So, so that was one of these weird things. So, I knew that, hey, no one's in that building, because something would be going off, unless they disabled the alarm, which I knew that, I pretty much didn't think that happened. And also, they also had indoor lighting, so that indoor lighting would trip, whenever someone came by. So that's when the lights came on, it made me think, oh, somebody's in there for a second. But it just freaked me out, like I said, because they were wired. How can anybody be in the building? So I just sort of hid for a second behind this kind of big air conditioning thing, and I just watched, because I thought, if somebody's really in that building, they're going to walk by the windows, and I'm going to see them. So I sat where no one else could really see me, and I just looked and stared and listened, and they kept talking and voices, and it sounded like maybe two or three people. And then all of a sudden, everything just completely stopped. Just boom. All the lights went off. The sound stopped, just like on a, like somebody flipped a switch. And that's when the hair on the back of my neck kind of rose up, and I really felt like somebody was watching me from the windows. So that really freaked me out. So I decided to back up. And just again, I just stayed for a second just to see if, really kind of comprehend what I was dealing with. And I thought, well, maybe, I don't know, this is pretty weird, but I'm not going to, I thought, should I call my boss? He's probably going to think I'm crazy. And it's like 2 a.m. The alarms haven't gone off. Nothing's happened. Cops aren't here. I don't know. This is weird. So I just decided to wait, and I did. I wound my way kind of going around the building, kind of skirting it a little wider out, went around the other side of the building, and I had to go by a couple more times, and it was, nothing else happened. But in the morning, there was nothing in the morning, and I could check, make sure for sure that with the lights, with the daylight, that there was nothing happening. There was no windows ajar. There were no doors ajar. So nobody had been in that building. But anyway, so that was pretty weird. And I always think, it's a very old building, very old school. So I always think when you have construction, stuff like that, it really stirs stuff up. So you never know what you're dealing with. So anyway, another story about that building. A couple things. One time, another thing about that building is that the time I showed up on site and all the alarms were going off in the building, and something had triggered the alarms and no one knew what had caused it. And they actually had the alarm tech come down and look at it, and he said he couldn't figure out what was going on with it. But it was super loud, and they just didn't know what had triggered it. And then in another incident, when I finally did tell my boss about it, he told me that, that they had said several, that construction people had told him that they had had actually several weird things happen where they had seen people in the building walking around, like say at the end of the hallway or something. When they went to check, there was no one there. So just one more quick story about that place is that I was with another security guard, and this is actually before that incident I told you about happened, but This is before they had the wiring inside and all the alarms on. And when we showed up on shift that night, one of the doors was unlocked and was open. So our protocol was that, you know, well, it could be, seemed like all the security people were off-site. They were supposed to have been off-site, so we had to go inside and make sure the building was secure. And, you know, you don't want to put yourself in too much danger, but you also, you know, you can call the police if you need to, but you want to just kind of make a quick check and see if maybe if it was just a construction person you didn't know about or something was on-site. So we walk in, we're looking around, trying to figure out who, what's happening, if somebody just left the door open. And if somebody had actually gotten in the building, and we're kind of talking, we walked by this restroom, and we were having a conversation, and I could have swore I heard somebody say, mm-hmm, like agreeing with us, like they were sort of agreeing with our conversation. And you know, bathrooms kind of have that echoey kind of feel, small bathrooms like in schools and stuff. So it was weird, you know, so we... You know, I said, hey, somebody's in this bathroom. So we rushed in there, you know, and looked and called out security, you know, we're coming in. And, you know, nobody was around. So it was very strange, very weird thing. So anyway, so that was the first place. Second place, we were same thing, same project. This school had been rehabbed. And I was actually, so what had happened is another, you know, we had quadrants sort of we took for patrol. It was really big again, this place. So we took quadrants where I'd split with another guy. And so I was on my side patrolling. It was about 2 a.m. and I had like an iPod that, you know, I loved, but finally went ka-clunk on me. But I used to listen to podcasts and music on that thing. I loved it. But at the time I still had it and it ran out of juice. And at that time, there was hardly any electricity. They were demoing a bunch of stuff. Hardly any electricity on that place. So all they had were these kind of what I call spiders. And those are like these, kind of these, like these, they plug into a main power source. And they're like these sort of almost like, not like a generator, but something you'd, they plug into a main power source. And then from out that, everyone sticks their, they put their, you know, they plug into that. And that's how everyone kind of gets power to things. So they'd had those at several ports around the campus. And this one port they had one was in this old gym, which was really a big, creepy gym. And one other weird thing about that is that when we first went there, there were several students that would stop by and were seeing what was happening. And they started telling us that gym was haunted. And we just thought, you know, my boss thought, oh, they're just trying to scare you. You know, it's funny, you know, but... Anyway, it was a very creepy old place, but and huge, this gym. So I knew that there was one of these, going back to the little power things, I knew there was one of those in there, in that gym. And so I thought, well, I got to power this up or I won't be able to stay awake. I got to do this. So I thought, it's creepy, but, you know, if you do security work like that, overnight security work, you just can't be scared of the dark. Can't be scared of being alone. Places because you're always alone in places and we're walking around the door and it's, you know, like I said, you're more chance to encounter something living and threatening than any, most of the time, anything supernatural. But it's just you know, it's not for the squeamish and the faint of heart. You gotta have, you know, gotta be able to take care of yourself and just know that you know, not to be too intimidated by things. So I thought, well, I got to go in there and I got to plug this thing in. So I went in there and plugged it in. And come back about an hour later, thinking, well, maybe an hour and a half, something like that, thinking it's probably charged up, you know. So I walk out there in the middle of the gym where it was and to get my dumb plug, my iPod. And all of a sudden I hear what sounds like sneakers running across the gym. And they're running up. Right behind me, it's like there's just someone running up on me. So I spun around. I had this pretty big, heavy-duty flashlight. Spun around, you know, and it's very bright. And just nothing. Nothing around, nothing. Everything's completely quiet. And just, again, that hair on the back of your neck, which to me, when that happens, that's a primal response we have. That means something's up. Something's going on. So that thing, you know, it just really spooked me. And but it sounded just like, you know, the way sneakers squeak on a gym floor, you know, when you're running. anyway, I just, I got my thing, I hooked that thing really quick and just, you know, got out of there. And the rest of the night I had to walk around and do my rounds around that thing, and I just skirted that thing, and I could swear somebody was watching me. But, you know, but that's the only incident I really ever had on that place, and they actually tore down that thing, that gymnasium, later on. So, you know, I wasn't able to, didn't have to deal with that building very much longer. But another thing about place was that one of my fellow colleagues that also patrolled up there on another night had actually made a video where he recorded an orb that was floating through the auditorium. This kind of lit orb that was floating through the auditorium, which was very spooky. So anyway, so I wasn't the only one that had weird things up there. And it just had a weird, you know, you'd have to be, sometimes you had to be walking around the basement in the dark and very, you know, just a flashlight. It's kind of like a horror movie, you know, honestly. But anyway, so yeah, so I love your show, and just y'all call back. I have quite a few stories, a lot of paranormal stuff I've encountered in my life. So, but those, I thought you'd get a kick out of those. So thanks, and talk to you later.
I hope you enjoyed those stories by Richard, those security ghost stories. And if you did, I have another for you. This one was from the year 2014 in episode number 195. It was from September 5th of 2014. From Sarah in Canada, the BF Goodrich plant in Canada. I'm a security guard, and I've worked almost exclusively night shifts for almost 10 years. It's quite a lot to spook me, and I've been through a few things that would have made most people quit working security entirely, including being physically attacked by a mean drunk and having a handgun shoved into my face by a meth dealer. Despite those incidents, I really do like the job, and I actually prefer the night shift. One night I was off duty and was all set to enjoy a rare 3-day break in my schedule when my supervisor called. Another guard had refused to return to his site on short notice, and they were desperate to find someone who would fill it for a few nights. I needed the cash, so I said I'd take the site and ask for the address. The building was the old B.F. Goodrich plant in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. B.F. Goodrich had produced automotive tires and other rubber products in Kitchener until the manufacturing was moved to the U.S. in 2006, resulting in the loss of 1,100 local jobs. After the closure, angry former employees and teens with nothing better to do broke in and vandalized the place. Once the glass was broken out, the weather did even more damage to the abandoned factory. A few years after that closure, the property was bought by the University of Waterloo to be used for their pharmacology courses, and the school decided to renovate some of the old factory buildings rather than razing everything and building new. And that was why they now had security on the site. All tools and equipment that the construction required were being housed in an unsecured building with broken windows and missing doors. My purpose in being there overnight was to prevent the theft and stop trespassing and vandals. The night was stormy and very dark. Rain was pouring down in a deluge, and I was glad to get indoors, even if the old derelict building had no heat or electricity. I had a strong flashlight and extra batteries. I'd also brought some of my ghost hunting gear, since I'd worked in another old factory that I'd discovered was haunted, and was keen to see if this one had anything interesting in it. I had my digital camera, my little voice recorder, and my K2 EMF meter with me. I soon began exploring the old site, looking for intruders. The roof leaked, and huge puddles turned the cement floors into lakes. Mold grew in fuzzy, slimy patches of black, white, brown, and green. Destroyed wallboard, desks, and shattered toilets and sinks gave mute testimony to the building's vandals. Once I was sure there were no living beings inside the plant, I began an EVP session and started snapping pictures. Over my 12-hour shift, I often felt watched. But I didn't hear anything that couldn't be explained away by the creaking of the old building. It was only once I got home and uploaded the data I'd collected to my PC that I found out that I'd caught something. In two of the photos, there were glowing eyes. The eyes were coming from right behind where I'd been walking a few seconds before taking the photo. You can see my wet footprints leading away from where the eyes are visible. The eyes are set at a level that is much higher than even a large animal, more akin to a man of medium height. On the recording, I caught a clear baritone laugh, a nasty-sounding cackle. A few seconds later, there was a cough, a phlegmy smoker's cough. I don't smoke, and was alone in that building. I had verified there were no animals or people inside the building. Now the pharmacy school is there. I really wonder if anything odd is happening there. And if you enjoyed that story from the Anything Ghost Past, you can join the Anything Ghost VIP group. I have a website for the VIP group that houses the complete archives of Anything Ghost, and that starts in January of 2006. So for more information, go to anythingghost.com, join VIP. So I've been a musician since I was, 13 or so, playing guitar and then piano, and then I sang in a band. But I did it for a long time, played in Hollywood bands and things like that, lived up there. It was a lot of fun. Did it for longer than I probably should have. But the best thing I ever, the song that I wrote that got the most attention in my whole life was the one I'm going to play here. I wrote it for an episode of Anything Goes some years back, and it actually got used a couple times on television and things. But the recording quality is really, my mixing quality is really bad, because I just did a real quick, dirty mix for that episode. But here's the tune, and it's called Sundowner. Ooh. recording tonight. It's 1:30 in the morning. It's Easter Sunday in the morning. And because I wanted to get this out before the end of March. But I'm going to move. Actually, tonight I wanted to tell you it's we've gotten a lot of heavy rain, which is rare for Easter. And just got a severe thunderstorm warning, which is also a little rare. So if you heard some loud bangs and pops and maybe a sissy-like high-pitched scream, that would be me. No, that wasn't me. But I do love thunderstorms, but I respect them. But this story, again, is from Giovanni, and he's in Puerto Rico. I guess that's how his name's pronounced. And a little background on Puerto Rico. There's a haunted lighthouse in Castillo San Felipe del Moro. And it's in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And the lighthouse on this island has a history of ghostly footsteps, moans, and hovering yellow orbs. Apparitions of soldiers have also been reported. And that's at the Castillo San Felipe del Moro Lighthouse. But the story is from Giovanni in Puerto Rico, and it's not about the lighthouse. It's about apartment 530. I grew up in my grandmother's three-bedroom apartment, and being that I'm the eldest of her grandkids, I grew up with most of my uncles still living there. My mother had to work, so I spent my years in my grandma's house, clueless of what was going on through the years. About 2 weeks ago, I visited my oldest uncle, whom I regard as a father figure, and for whom I have the utmost respect. He approaches life with a logical explanation to everything. A very smart person who, through the years, I've also believed was an atheist, saying everything in life has logical explanations. That was until the film Paranormal Activity was given to him by his youngest brother. The elder uncle became furious about it. But quite frankly, I've never seen my uncle so spooked from what I believe was not so good or even that scary of a movie. He didn't tell me everything, but did mention that the events that were presented in that movie were similar to his experiences in that apartment, the apartment that I grew up to call home. I didn't pry for information, but it didn't take long for my mother to tell me what was going on in apartment 530. When my uncles were younger, they slept in the same room, two of them on a bunk bed, and my oldest uncle on his own bed. My uncle always told tales of seeing shadows and faces coming from the bedroom door. He and his brothers would often hear voices coming from his closet. The brothers would often complain in the middle of the night, saying that someone had just kicked their beds from underneath. My grandmother once burned candles and asked for guidance. My grandfather, who did not believe in such things, woke in the middle of the night and blew out the candles. No sooner had he done this than the apartment began to shake. As for my own experiences in that apartment, I have kept this quiet for all these years. I thought that it was an act of imagination on my part. But now I know it was not. I slept covered head to toe all my life, completely buried in blankets. One evening was no exception. I decided to peek over the covers, though. I decided to peek over the covers. As I peered into the dark room, I saw the shadow of eerie hands approaching me. They appeared as if they were going to choke me. I pulled the covers back over my head. 2 weeks ago, when the most serious and respectable of my uncles told me that the incidents and paranormal activity reminded him of the events in his childhood, and that it took place in the same room of the same apartment, number 530, I knew that I had not imagined those eerie hands that approached me that one evening. And again, that's a ghost story from Giovanni in Puerto Rico. And that certainly sounds similar to some of the ghost stories we hear in the United States and elsewhere. And next up is a story from back in the U.S. This ran 5 years ago in episode number 2019. It's from Minnie in New York, the ghost of Smokey the Cat.
Hi, Lex. You've read one of my stories in the past, and I thought you'd like to know what's going on in my home right now. About 2 years ago, we had two cats at the time, Smokey and Marshmallow. Unfortunately, Smokey was getting a little bit older and he wasn't doing very well. He was losing a lot of weight, he wasn't interested in his food, and we even think that he had some type of kitty dementia, if that makes any sense at all. My husband and I couldn't bear to see Smokey wasting away the way he was, so we made the very difficult decision to have him put to sleep. I remember very clearly that it was the day before Christmas Eve, and we had to bring Smokey into the emergency vet clinic because our usual vet was on vacation. Despite his terrible condition, Smokey had a very strong will to live, and he did not go very peacefully. My husband and I felt terrible. We were very traumatized by the entire event. Even though we knew that we couldn't let Smokey go on suffering the way that he was. So we brought Smokey home, and the next day we buried him out in the woods. Nearly a year had passed since Smokey's death, and during that time I found myself becoming very interested in witchcraft. The ancient holiday of Samhain was approaching, otherwise known as Halloween to most folks. And as everyone knows, this is supposedly the time of year when the veil between the two worlds is at its thinnest, and spirits walk the earth. Years ago, a psychic once told me that I had clairvoyant abilities, that I was a sensitive, and I'd never really learned how to utilize those talents quite yet. So I decided at this time of Samhain, when the veil was very thin, that I was going to open myself up to the possibility of seeing or interacting with the spirit realm. Now, mind you, I should clarify that I am actually a very deeply skeptical person, and I don't always believe in these types of things. I find them very interesting. But I'm usually the first person to look for a logical explanation for something unexplained happening. Okay, with that being said, it was just a few days before Samhain, and I decided that I was going to go down and visit Smokey's grave. It was very disheartening to discover that a tree had actually been uprooted and had fallen on top of Smokey's grave, so the whole area was slightly disturbed. I took some time to clear some of the crunchy fall leaves and some of the branches and debris that had fallen on Smokey's grave. I then took a seat on the fallen log and I lit a candle and I closed my eyes and deepened my breath and I invited Smokey or whomever may have been in the woods that day to come and visit with me. I had not been sitting there for more than 30 seconds, and I heard the crunchy leaves behind me rustling, and my heart started beating so hard, and I started sweating, and I immediately thought that I had done something terrible. I thought I was going to turn around and see Smokey sitting there in front of me. So I jumped up and I turned around and I looked down, and on top of Smokey's grave, the leaves were rustling and moving, and this beautiful, silvery mole, enormous mole, tunneled up through the leaves, crawled across the log that I had been sitting on, and simply burrowed back down into the leaves. I really did not know what to make of that. I don't know if it was Smokey trying to communicate with me or if it was simply a mole that I had disturbed by. But the timing was just so uncanny and so unnerving that I pretty much blew out the candle, closed down the lines of communication, or so I thought, and headed back to the house. Now, I had never really thought about our house as haunted or even as having the potential of being haunted because it's only about 5 years old and we're only the second tenants to ever live in the house. And I've never actually felt any presence or noticed anything strange going on inside the house. We do know that there was a fire here that happened to the house that was on this property before our current house was built. I don't really know that much about that. I don't know if anyone was injured or killed or if it was a tragic sort of fire. We really have no idea. But we do know that the oak trees that surround our home are actually singed on one side from the fire. So anyways, not too long after I had gone to visit Rama's grave, I started having these sort of night tremors or night terrors. I would feel a presence standing next to the bed watching me as I was trying to sleep. It was just a really uncomfortable feeling. It felt very threatening. I know that it sounds really silly, but it's caused me a lot of anxiety and it's caused me to lose a lot of sleep. And I continually, even to this day, still, after some of the things that have happened, I still tend to believe that it's all my imagination and that nothing's actually there. So if anything, I think that this has been the catalyst that has sort of caused me to feel on edge when I'm home alone. I work from home, so I am home alone often. And one afternoon I came in and I ran up the stairs really quickly to grab something out of my closet in my bedroom. And when you get to the top of the stairs, immediately to the right is the guest room. And there is a small window in the guest room. And usually my other cat, Marshmallow, is sitting in the window. And she will sometimes jump down to greet me and come over and say hello. I know that noise very well of the cat hitting the floor from jumping from that small high window. So I didn't think anything of it. I didn't even look in that direction. So I went and I grabbed the thing that I was looking for in my closet in my bedroom, and then I turn around to see that Marshmallow was actually sleeping in the rocking chair in our bedroom, and her eyes were as big as saucers, and she was staring very intensely towards the direction of the guest bedroom. So immediately I had shivers run up my spine because I know that I heard her or heard something jumping in the guest bedroom, yet she and I were the only ones home alone, and by the look on her face, I could tell that she had heard it too. So that was very, very unnerving, and I didn't know what to make of it. I tried to put it out of my mind. I tried to convince myself that it was my imagination, even though I know that Marshmallow also heard that strange noise. So a few days had passed, and I had kind of forgotten about it or tried to forget about it, and I actually had to go to the grocery store. So I went to the grocery store, I came back home, and I started putting groceries away, and I realized that I had forgotten to pick up the dog food. So I ended up having to get in my car and leave and go back to the store and get the dog food, and when I came back home, I found that the front burners on the stove had been turned on. Because I had just been there a half an hour, 40 minutes earlier, putting groceries away in the cupboard over the stove, I know that I would have noticed if the burners were on, or if I had left burners on from a previous meal. They're the type of electric burners that glow red hot when they get warm. So it was very, very unnerving to come home knowing that the burners were off when I left the house to seeing that the burners had been turned on. I was really freaked out, to say the least, and I ended up telling my husband about it, along with the incident in the guest room upstairs, hearing the thump or the jumping. And even though he is even way more of a skeptic than I am, we both agreed that we were going to sage the house because the act of the burners being turned on felt very, very threatening. And we even stood at the stove and tried to imagine that maybe Marshmallow had jumped up on the stove for some reason and maybe she had turned the knobs by accident, but we could not recreate that scenario. Like, you have to grab the knob in a certain way and turn it in a certain way to actually get the burner to turn on. So not long after this incident, we ended up saging the house, and we actually went outside and saged some of the land and the property as well, because we agreed that if there was something in the house or presence, that it was most certainly coming from outside, from the land, or from the woods. So after that, everything seemed relatively quiet. The burners didn't turn back on. I wasn't really hearing any noises upstairs. And this last incident is really strange, and I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what it means. It actually only happened a few days ago, so it's pretty fresh. So I was at home, and I was just doing errands around the house and picking up, and I happened to go upstairs later in the evening and found the top drawer of my dresser wide open with all of my underwear and socks all over the floor. And actually, they were in a pile directly under the open drawer. And I know that I didn't do this because I'm a very neat person. I like to have my clean socks and underwear folded nicely in my drawer. And I know that my cat didn't do it because she doesn't have opposable thumbs and she can't open the dresser drawer. And I know that my husband didn't do it because he wasn't even home at the time. I was so bewildered by it that I just left it like that. And I showed my husband when he came home. I showed him the pile and I asked him, "This is a really weird question, but by any chance, did you do that for some reason?" And he kind of laughed at me and didn't really understand why I was asking him that. And then I told him what I told you and that I just found it that way. And this really, really seemed to freak him out. I think it was important to show him what I saw rather than just picking it up and trying to describe it to him later. So he got to see firsthand kind of what I stumbled upon while I was picking up the house. So we kind of don't know what to do because we've already saged the house and we've saged the property, and still these very strange things keep occurring. So if you have any suggestions, Lex, or if any of your listeners do, I would love to hear them. All right, well, I think that's it for now. Thanks, Lex. And take care.
And that'll do it for episode number 310 of Anything Ghost. If you have a story you want to share, send it to Lex at anythingghost.com. And it'll be in the soonest episode that I can put it. Okay, everyone, I hope you have a wonderful, if you celebrate Easter, have a wonderful Easter. Otherwise, have a great Sunday or whatever day you're listening to this. I'm sure it'll be a magical, wonderful day. Until then, Have yourself a great week and take care.